This is ContactTalkRadio.com, consciousness in action, and you are taking action into your consciousness by tuning into Contact Talk Radio.
And on TuneIn.com, Hing.fm, and UpSnap Mobile.
Contact Talk Radio.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome. This is Flipping the Switch, and I'm Suze Casey, and as always, delighted to spend this next hour with you. We have a bit of a different show today. We're talking about money. Love it, hate it, we all need it. Money. And then my special guest today is Andrew Ruland, who I'll be introducing to you in just a minute. But we will not be having any call-ins today. What we'll do is that next week we will have call-ins. And so, sorry if you were planning on calling in and doing some repatterning today. We're not doing that. We're doing a pre-record because I'm on an airplane next week when this is being aired. So we're doing this ahead of time. But really delighted to have you here for Money, love it, hate it, we all need it. And so we're going to be flipping the switch. Andrew and I are going to be working together. Andrew is I guess I would call him someone who really looks at wealth. And he is an investor and somebody who really understands the relationship between money and wealth. But he does it in a very different way. His company is called Integrated Wealth Management and very client-centered, innovative, and collaborative in the way that they deal with money management and helping people with their money. And Andrew and I agreed to have this conversation, and I'm going to be doing some work with him around his beliefs around money, and he's going to be doing some work from his perspective around my beliefs around money, and we'll see what happens. It ought to be kind of fun. So welcome to the show, Andrew. Really delighted to have you here.
Thank you. Great to be here.
Yeah, so Andrew's also based in Calgary, and you know, before we dive any further, let me just do what I usually do. That's like let people know when some of the courses and seminars are upcoming. And then we're going to dive in because I have this sneaking suspicion, Andrew, that once you and I start talking, all of a sudden the time's going to go zip.
Mm-hmm. Time flies when you're having fun.
Exactly. It sure does. So I have an upcoming online teleseminar called Your Mind, Your Money, which is May 1st, 8th, and the 22nd. And so it's an hour and 15 minutes on the 1st and the 8th, where we do some specific repatterning. I keep the numbers in these seminars low so that you get lots of one-on-one attention. The rate on that is a $49 rate, and you get the two hour and 15 minutes. And then on the 22nd, that we give you a week or so in between there, and then give an opportunity for a Q&A where you can phone in and get your questions answered. We record those, so you'll get a recording of it as well, and that's happening at 1 p.m. Mountain Time, so that's noon Pacific Time, and 3 o'clock Eastern Time, and 4 o'clock Atlantic Time, and if you're anywhere else, you have to do the math yourself, because that's enough for me to manage today. You'd like some help around your beliefs around money, so we're going to talk about that today, Andrew, in terms of, you know, where our beliefs come from. I think everyone's pretty clear that the family of origin has something to do with it. But I know you've got some other perspectives on where our beliefs and attitudes around money come from.
Family of origin is definitely a big piece of it. Basically, we have nurture and nature, right? So we're, we start this life out of the womb with a certain set of DNA programming. And then whatever happens after that is going to affect us. So the Jesuits, I'll go back to my Catholic upbringing. The Jesuits say that give us a child until the age of 7 and they will be a member of the church for life. And that's because before the age of 7 or 9, in the case of boys usually, basically we're a big sponge. We're more or less living in a theta state where we will absorb anything and everything that we hear. So it's not just about money, but basically a significant part of our beliefs around our worthiness, around money, around relationships, around other people, come from those things that we hear in our extremely early years. The earlier, basically the more impressionable that we are. So that's where a lot of it comes from. And, a lot of the listeners are probably pretty familiar with the work of Bruce Lipton and others who talk about the biology of belief. And there's a commercial enterprise out there called Luminosity, which is all about I think basically repatterning your neural pathways and things like that. It's all in the same ilk. So beliefs have, they have a biological, an emotional, and a spiritual, basically grounding an effect on us.
Well, and anyone listening to this show is familiar with my work with belief repatterning. We talk about those neural pathways and how you can absolutely flip the switch on them. That they do not, just because you may have arrived with them in your DNA does not mean you cannot change them.
Absolutely.
And, you know, the other thing that I find really interesting is that people say, oh, I can't help it. I've always been this way. It's kind of like throwing up your hand in the air and going, I'm a Sagittarius. I can't help myself. You know, it's like we have free will. And so, yes, we have those programmings that we come in with. We have them that we've adopted and adapted through time. And then we have experiences that happen to us. I know, you know, people would have challenges. They've lost their job, or they've gone through a bankruptcy, or they've, you know, been in a relationship where things went south and so did their money or whatever. Mm-hmm. And that's going to create some beliefs. And just as those beliefs can change as new environmental things happen and new experiences happen, they can also change in a deliberate way and change them up quite easily and quite significantly. And one of the things that I find so often is that people think that it has to be hard. It has to take a long time. And I just like, yeah, not really.
Again, see, that's part of the programming that we've been given, right? Is that anything that results in something really good has to be difficult.
Yeah. No pain, no gain. I don't subscribe to that one. I subscribe to that if it isn't fun, I'm not doing it.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know what they say, so, no pain. No pain.
Yeah, exactly. It's like it doesn't have to be painful. So we're going to look at some really fun things today of ways that you can switch up some of the programming that you've got around money. We're going to give you some practical tips. We'll do some repatterning as always. And we are also going to just give you maybe some things that you can do to just change up some beliefs. So I'm going to start with one that I always suggest to people.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you mentioned our feelings of worthiness. And one of the things that I'm known for is these pragmatic little ideas that take 2 seconds and make a huge difference.
Yes.
And so this one I call my $21 jar. And basically it's $3 a day. And so every Saturday, I put a $20 bill and a loonie. And for those of you who aren't from Canada, our $1 coins are called loonies. So I put $21 into a jar. And the reason I put $21 into a jar is because at the end of the year, I have over $1,000.
Mm-hmm.
And that will buy me a 1 week in the off season at an all-inclusive. And so I know I've got a great holiday.
Exactly.
Now, I started this one when I was on holiday in the Dominican Republic. Oh, gosh. I'm going to say it might even be 10 years ago now. And I was there on my own, and I met another gal who was there, and she was like, I can't believe this. And she said, oh, you know, we were talking about how great it was. We're skimming across the Caribbean on this catamaran. And she said, the only thing is I have no idea how I'm going to pay for this when I get home.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, seriously? And she's like, yeah. She said, I just decided I needed a break, and I just took it. She's a solo entrepreneur as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I said to her, you know, really, this costs $3 a day for a year. Because we just took the amount and I kind of divided it by 365. I didn't have a calculator with me, but I went, you know, it's about that.
Yeah.
And she looked at me and she went, oh my gosh. And I said, you know, you could just put $3 a day into a jar and you'd have it. And she said, except I wouldn't do that. And I said, well, how about a loonie and a 20? And we started the $21 jar. And so I have done that ever since.
Mm-hmm.
And it's wonderful because I remember one time I got a phone call, was invited to go to Mexico, have a free place to stay.
Mm-hmm.
And I looked at my jar and I had enough not only for my plane ticket, but also for a rental car. And it was just like, so that's one of the things that I do so that I know I'm worthy of these like lovely holidays.
And there's a great example of how you changed a habit or you created a habit for yourself, which was supportive
Mm-hmm.
of your beliefs and your priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So many people, like the person you described that you met down in the Dominican, was actually living on the other side, where basically probably living day to day and had to put it on a credit card.
Mm-hmm.
And that's not a really great feeling when you have to put your vacations on a credit card, because it means that you haven't paid for it, even if by the amount of work you quote-unquote deserve it.
Exactly.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And a lot of that stuff comes back from having witnessed, I believe, a lot of unhealthy patterns around saving during your youth. Okay, so it's usually from parents,
mm-hmm.
but it could also have come in from other places. And you know, there's three basic sources of this incredibly important programming or belief patterning originally, and it's our parents, it's our teachers and coaches, and it's typically religious clergy. Mm-hmm. Basically, all three of those groups of people are in incredibly high trust positions with a child, so they believe whatever they hear. So if you hear things like money is the root of all evil, which is a misquote, of course.
Yes.
Love of money.
The love of money is the root of all evil. Yes.
But even that.
And I don't even think it is the root of all evil.
No. And I mean, it really does come back to some really simple and basic things. And one of the earliest recognitions that people have of the differences between what they have and what a friend has or a neighbor has or a classmate or a cousin or whoever. And that sets up this lifelong dance of inequality, this feeling of inferiority and around money, not having enough. And then if there are any other seeds that have been planted around not being worthy, then basically the money beliefs start to take root in that soil of unworthiness.
Mm-hmm. So would you say, we've established a couple of them that I'm sure that listeners are already nodding their head and recognizing: the not enough,
mm-hmm.
the not deserving,
mm-hmm.
and the not worthy. And not worthy and not deserving are two different, quite different belief systems.
Mm-hmm.
Would you say that there's any other kind of biggies out there that you encounter in the work that you're doing? Or do they all kind of fall under the not worthy, not deserving, and not enough?
I think the biggest one, other than what we've already talked about, is the association of money with poor character. And growing up, one of the things that I was exposed to that I recall very carefully is that, the meek will inherit the earth.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Right? And another
meek doesn't mean poor.
No, it doesn't. It doesn't. It just means that you're
meek.
Genuinely humble.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a completely different thing. But, of course, when you don't have a lot of financial resources, you lose your voice in some respects. So there's that association with meekness equaling poverty.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's this association that people who have money are bad. And on the other side of it is that poverty is often used as basically as a badge of honor.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly I know that being raised in the way that I was is that, well, you know, poor people get to heaven and ultimately that's all you really want to care about anyway. But the fact is that when you see people who have wealth and they do great things with it, it isn't the money that makes them good, right? And when you see people who have a lot of money who do bad things, like we've seen a lot recently with the Wall Street gang, it's not the money that makes them bad.
I think that money, I look at money as being energy, and it will make you more of whatever you already are.
Mm-hmm.
There's some belief that's around there, like people that I see that are doing great things, and they're doing quote unquote all the right things,
mm-hmm.
and yet wealth, let alone even just kind of comfortableness, is really
mm-hmm.
eluding them.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know where that comes from, and it doesn't matter where it comes from. Of course, in my work, we don't bother going looking for the start of things or the root of things, but is that something that you're also seeing in the work that you do? Is that I often will just shake my head and go, you know, this person is giving so much, and
mm-hmm.
they're going, how come? And from my perspective, it's because they don't have their catcher's mitt on.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're just so good at giving, but they aren't very good at receiving or accepting. And
the law of receptivity is a really big one.
Mm-hmm.
If any listeners have not yet read a book called Go Giver by Bob Berg and a co-author, they should definitely pick that up. It's a quick read, but it's a great story that talks about five laws of success as he sees them. But number five, which is the biggest one, is the law of receptivity.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be willing to receive. And that's a really big one, isn't it?
It is. And so many people just deflect,
mm-hmm.
you know. So if this is something that you have that you're listening and you're going, oh, you may not even recognize that you're not willing to receive, but I'll give you a really quick way that you could know that you have a little bit of work to do on this receptivity bit. And that would be, think about a time when somebody has offered to do or give or help you out with something, and what was your response? So let's say somebody said to you're carrying a box, and somebody says, can I get that for you? And you say, no, I'm good. Or somebody says to you, oh, you're so busy, can I help you? No, I'm fine, got it under control. That would give a big flag warning, mm-hmm. that you are somebody that's not good at the law of receptivity, that you aren't receiving. You don't have what I call your catcher's mitt on. And there's a super simple way in the belief repatterning world of getting around that. And that mm-hmm. is whenever anybody says anything like that to you, your proper and only response is, yes, thank you. And that gives you a few seconds to go, and how, what could I get them to do for me? You know, mm-hmm. and even if it's just, could you please grab those water bottles and move them over to that desk, that'd be so helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Letting people do things for you, because so many of us, it's like, oh, I got to do it myself, got to be independent.
Mm-hmm.
And it, you know, how we do anything is how we do everything, and it translates over. So if you're not letting somebody help carry the books or open the door, or, you know, can I bring something over when I'm coming for dinner? And you go, mm-hmm. no, got it under control. It's like, say yes, thank you. It'd be awesome if you could bring. And even if you've got it already organized, let mm-hmm. them bring something.
Yes.
You know, because people love to give, and how dare you not let them do that by
but
not
remember,
receiving.
It is better to give than to receive.
Mm.
See, that's one of those things yeah. that's built in to our culture, but, is you know, that it is better to give.
And it is. However, mm. who am I going to give to if nobody's going to receive?
Exactly. See, it's a self-limiting belief
yeah.
right there in and of itself.
Exactly.
But the fact is that if we're not willing to receive, then basically flow stops,
yeah.
right? I mean, when we look at the infinity symbol, right, mm-hmm. the figure eight type symbol,
can't have
goes
it
round
side.
And round,
yeah.
unless it's actually complete and things are flowing, it stopped,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you look at what a healthy economy is, what is that? A healthy economy is money in motion. It's when people are not sitting on their financial resources.
I like how you didn't say not sitting on their assets. I always think that's fun when, yeah, it's like, you know, that, and yet so often people are wanting to, like, I gotta save, because that's
right.
another old patterning, you
yes.
know? And I'm not saying that it's not good to save,
mm-hmm.
but that has to be in balance with keeping the money in motion, because it's energy. And if you're just stuffing it away under the mattress.
Absolutely. But there's another aspect around saving, is that when you're saving, you're just setting aside money from your current income for a rainy day and for your eventual retirement. That's about being self-reliant. That's mm-hmm. very wise. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
But living poor for the sake of dying rich doesn't make any sense
no.
either.
And can I just go back mm-hmm. to that putting things aside? I think it's great to put it aside, but you want to make sure that it's working for you when it is aside. It
yes.
doesn't need to be stagnant. It's still money in motion. So
correct.
That savings, and one of the things that makes me absolutely wild, and I don't mean to be dissing any particular industry, but I look at, you know, the returns that the banks are offering,
mm-hmm.
and I'm like, ah, like at 1%, that's not having your money work for you. I'm not
right.
saying you got to do something outlandishly ridiculous and hope for the big payday,
mm-hmm.
but there is some in-between things that people can absolutely do, and I think that's kind of the stuff that you help people with, isn't it?
Well, it is, and I'm going to get back to how I help people in a moment, but the fact is that interest rates are low because it stimulates more economic activity.
Mm-hmm.
The difficulty with that is the unintended consequence is what we call financial repression, which is that savers who want to be conservative, particularly in their retirement years, can't get a sufficient rate of return to be able to live off the money that they've saved, even if they've done all the right things.
Mm-hmm.
So that is that's forcing people to make decisions to go to other types of investments. But when they go to those other types of investments, particularly in the equity markets, sometimes in the real estate markets as well, is that they tend to go in when it's easy. Okay? It's easy to be someone who follows the rest of the herd. It's emotionally easy to do what everyone else is doing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes courage and confidence to be willing to look different and to go against the flow. And so this speaks to the whole issue of mass psychology. When do most people buy? Well, right near the top.
Yeah.
Right.
Oh, I better get in before it's too late.
Absolutely.
And that, you know, that ties into the work I do, because I'm always saying, let's make the decisions from the upside of the line instead of the downside of the line. And people are making decisions around money based on fear.
Yes.
What if I become a bag lady? Or are there bag men? I don't know. I've only ever heard about bag ladies, but you know, how am I going to, like, I've got to save something for a rainy day. And it's like, you know what? I say I'm saving for another purpose.
Yes.
You know, and that purpose may be at some point in time when, but I don't call it a rainy day.
Because
I want to keep my, everything that's to do with my energy, whether that energy is financial energy, emotional energy, physical energy, I want to keep it all on the upside of the line as much as possible. So we've got just a bit of time here before we go to the break. And I always like to do a quick repatterning for people in the first part of the show. And so I'm thinking that, you know, one of the beliefs that I see is that people think that if they have, then somebody else is going to lose, so that there's not enough to go around. So what we're going to do
is finite pie thing.
Yeah, yeah. And really, energy begets energy, and it creates more of. And so there's not just like X amount of dollars. It's called money in motion, as you said earlier, and it will beget more money. So me having money doesn't mean that you don't.
Correct.
And or somebody, you know, like it's. And
it's
I think
just like love.
Yeah, exactly. Thank you. That's a great analogy. Yeah, the more that we love, the more love there is.
Well, it is analogous, but it is also literal. I mean, when you think about it, money is just another form of energy.
Mm-hmm.
And all forms of energy
are love.
That's it. So money is love.
And when we operate from the other side of the line, love being on one side of the line, fear being on the other side of the line, we choke it off. So let's just do a quick repatterning, and not suggesting that you need this one, but it's just always nice if I've got somebody else to repeat it instead of me repeating it again. And so I'll say it once, and then you and the listeners can repeat it back and do the big deep breath in and out. And if you do have a monkey that shows up, sometimes what happens is that when I'm doing this with somebody else, they'll pick up the energy of what somebody else is thinking. So just let me know if there's some monkey that shows up in your head. Okay. So I forgive myself for believing that there's not enough money to go around.
I forgive myself for believing that there's not enough money to go around.
We just breathe it in and we let it go. I forgive myself for believing anyone in my past who reinforced the belief that there wasn't enough money to go around.
I forgive myself for believing anyone in my past who told me that there wasn't enough money to go around.
I give myself permission to know that that's their belief. It doesn't have to be mine.
I give myself permission to know that that's their belief. It doesn't have to be mine.
I give myself permission to open up to receiving money. There is enough.
I give myself permission to open up to receiving money. There is enough.
I can believe that there's not enough, or I can see money as energy.
I can believe that there's not enough, or I can see money as energy.
And the one that supports me is?
And the one that supports me is?
To see money as energy.
To see money as energy. To see money as love. Sorry to add
that's
in
okay.
there.
That's okay. No, that's just fine.
Yeah.
I think it's fine. You know, 'cause it, and so often as children, we were, you know, that ties into the deserving piece and the worthy piece. I mean, it's all... Beliefs never show up by themselves. They always come in herds. They're all tangled in, which is why it can be a bit challenging. But if we shift up the energy on it, rather than trying to find the root of it or find the problem or how come and all those crazy making questions, and just shift up the energy. So let's shift it up. I often look to nature when I'm looking at things. And when I look out the window at nature, I mean, it's still winter here, but there is like an abundance of snowflakes. There's an abundance of pine needles. There's an abundance of traffic going by. There's an abundance of houses that I can see as far as I can see. There's abundance. There's enough. There's like lots.
Yeah.
So let's try this one. I choose to look around me and see that there is abundance.
I choose to look around me and see that there is abundance.
And breathe that one in. And then let's make it even more personal. I choose to see where I already am abundant in my life and expand it.
I choose to look at where I am already abundant in my life and expand it. Big monkey.
What did the big monkey just say?
I don't know what it said. I just literally felt it.
You felt like something standing on your chest?
It flared where things flare for me, which is typically in the solar plexus.
Well, and solar plexus, when we're looking at some Asian and Eastern healing modalities, the solar plexus is about success.
Solar plexus is the center of our will.
Yeah.
And in fact, one of the more common stones for there is citrine, which is the stone of abundance.
Right. So there's a little hint. You may want to go grab yourself a citrine and carry it around that solar plexus area. And for those of you who don't know where your solar plexus is, that's where when you were a kid and you fell off the monkey bars and you got winded, that's your solar plexus. It's kind of right between your lungs and in behind your breastbone.
Exactly.
Kind of sunk right in there. So.
And in some of the Asian traditions as well, there's a belief that wealth or abundance comes in through the southeast part of your home or your business.
Mm-hmm.
So you put a piece of citrine in the southeast corner of your home and your business. We've done that at home. We've done that in my office.
Nice. And if you're doing it from a feng shui perspective, if you're standing at your front door and you take your left hand and you point your left hand to the far corner at the back of the house from the front door, that's your wealth corner in feng shui.
Hmm.
So citrine would be a good thing to put there as well.
Water
is a good thing to put there because water flows and you want your wealth to flow.
Mm-hmm.
I remember one house that I was that I bought and I was going to install a fireplace. It was a townhouse and they were still building them. And I made sure, because I've always had a fireplace in my house, and I made sure I could. And then I had my feng shui gal come and I said, I'm putting a fireplace in that corner. She said, don't. That's your wealth corner. You do not want to put a fire element in your wealth corner. So fire element would be like obviously like the fireplace or candles or anything red or orange is going to activate that in a mm-hmm. negative way. But mm-hmm. you want things that are flowing and of the water element. So blues and greens in that corner of your house. And I have a painting that's fish because fish, of course, are abundant in schools mm-hmm. of fish and in water. And so fish are often seen as a sign of abundance as well. So mm-hmm. there's all kinds of things. And I just figure, you know, Andrew, if it's been around for a long time in the Asian tradition, there's probably something to it.
Mm-hmm.
It just, you know, and if there isn't anything to it, oh, well.
No harm done.
Exactly. And I save all the stuff, the red and the fire and the passion stuff, I save that for the relationship corner in my mm-hmm. home and make sure that happens over there. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you can play with some of these things. And just I just figured let's use all of it. So
yes.
Let's quickly finish up this repatterning, and then we'll go for a quick break. And then we're going to come back with some really hard and fast pragmatic things that people can do in terms of money and increasing money and flow in their life. So we are at not enough. How's that place in your belly? Is it feeling a little bit looser now?
Mm-hmm. It is.
I am free to recognize that there is enough, and I claim mine.
I am free to recognize that there is enough, and I claim mine.
Okay, breathe that in. I am free to find where I'm already abundant and expand it.
I am free to find where I am already abundant and expand it.
I know that what I think about expands, so I see where there is enough on the upside of the line.
I know that whatever I think about expands, so I choose to think about what's on the upside of the line.
And expand it.
And expand it.
Yeah, good job. Breathe that in. Okay, because oftentimes people get so focused on the money part that they're not seeing the other abundance in their life. So you may have an abundance of love or friendship or pine needles outside. Or
mm-hmm.
I remember one of my clients was working on abundance things, and they had a property that had a great big gully in it.
Mm-hmm.
And one day she phoned me and she was just freaking out. She said, there's all these dump trucks arriving, dumping dirt into the gully. What should I do? And I just started to laugh. And I said, well, obviously your husband's at, like, they're not going to just come and do it. She said, well, I think they are. Anyway, shortly thereafter, her husband came home and yes, he had seen them and they were moving from the dirt from one place to another, going right by their place. And he said, where mm-hmm. are you dumping it? And rather than paying to dump it, would you come and dump it in my gully?
Right.
It just hadn't got home yet. Right.
Mm-hmm.
And so they ended up getting, I think it was like 30 or 40 dump truck loads full of dirt. And I said to her, so just sit down and multiply how much money it would cost you to get that much dirt, and you just made that much money.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to come in cha-ching. It can come in many different formats.
Exactly. And your property is probably a little bit more useful thanks to that extra energy that showed up.
Exactly. And it allowed them then to do the extension that they wanted to do on their house because the gully was a problem.
Yes.
And it was holding it back because they didn't have the money to fill the gully, you know, da-da-da-da-da-da-da, right?
Yeah.
Things always move and they create each other's things. So so I am focusing on the abundance I already have and open to there being enough.
I am focusing on the abundance I already have and opening to be for there to be enough.
Read that one in. I am deserving and worthy, and I claim my abundance.
I am deserving and worthy, and I claim my abundance.
And that's a big leap, but we're going to leave people with that and take a real quick break here, and we will be back in a couple of minutes and doing some more chat about specific things we can do around money and increasing it in your life. I'll be right back. My name's Suze. You're listening to Flipping the Switch. And my guest today is Andrew Ruland. And we're talking about love it, hate it, we all need it. Money. We'll be back in two.
Hi, this is Suze Casey, and I'm passionate about helping people flip the switch to positive thoughts. And through belief repatterning, I'll support you. I invite you to sign up for my newsletter on suzecasey.com. That's SUZECASEY.com. You can also order an autographed copy of Belief Repatterning, find out about individualized coaching with me, or join one of my online courses. Know you can and will repattern anything you choose. suzecasey.com. You've learned it, now live it. You've read the books and studied the theories, but the practical application is hanging you up. Are you tired of beating yourself up for not living what you know to be true? This is Suze Casey, and I invite you to integrate your learning through easy-to-practice exercise found in my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thought. It's available through hayhouse.com or your local bookstore. My gran used to say, a penny for your thoughts, and you know that a mindful daily practice is effective, but who has the time? What if there was a simple, practical, and profound way to focus your subconscious mind? 365 Repattern is an app that sends you a focus word and a positive thought every day, 365 days. Based on my book, Belief Repatterning, the amazing technique for flipping the switch to positive thoughts, 365 Repattern, you can get it at your app store, Android or iPhone. Your thoughts are worth it, and I'm Suze Casey reminding you.
Make real changes today. This is Flipping the Switch with Suze Casey.
Hi, and welcome back. You're listening to Flipping the Switch on CTR Network. My name's Suze Casey, and it is my delight to be having a chat here with Andrew Ruland, who is with an organization called Integrated Wealth Management. And Andrew takes a different view of money. He sees money as energy, which many of us do, but energy is all about love. And so therefore, money is love. Our own history with money and the power of the beliefs and understandings and the relationships with money that our early experiences created through our lives do affect the decisions that we make. And so when people say, why is this happening? The simple answer is because you have a pattern on it. However, we can change those patterns. So we change it through belief repatterning. But Andrew's got some really cool ideas that he also does. And we actually met because he saw a review about my book, The Belief Repatterning, Amazing Technique for Flipping the Switch to Positive Thoughts, that was published by Hay House in 2012. He saw a review on that and went, I need to meet this person. And he and I have been having great conversations ever since. So, Andrew, if there is one thing that you could just say to someone that would make a difference that they could do in like 5 to 10 minutes today or tomorrow, that would be kind of a general across the board thing. What would be a really quick little thing that people could do that would support them in their money goals and desires?
I think because you didn't ask me this question in advance, I'm not prepared for it. It's about being honest with yourself about what money really represents in your life.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's actually being honest.
Yeah. And being honest with where you are right now. So it might be taking everything out and just writing down what is your current financial picture, because so many people are afraid to look at it. And then that fear feeds the problem.
fear feeds the fear, and you have that vicious circle happening. And anytime we run into something where perhaps it triggers an old negative emotion around worthiness or relationship or whatever the case may be, if we find ourselves in a position where money is around or there's a financial decision that can be made, it often turns into a negative one. And shopping is a really great example of how something which is natural and normal can in fact be a masking or an avoidance or an acting out behavior.
Mm-hmm.
Just like alcohol or sex or drugs or technology, it can be an avoidance behavior, but it gets triggered by those old beliefs.
Mm-hmm. I know at one point in my life, one of the really quick and easy things I did was I just left all my credit cards at home. And I would have X amount of cash in my wallet, and then I, you know, and if I saw something that I really, really needed or wanted that was like a purchase that was like, oh my gosh, you know, I really have to have that, I really do need it, and I would just ask them to hold it, and then I would go home and get my credit card and go back. And I think I did it like twice in 1 year.
Mm-hmm.
But if I'd had those credit cards with me all the time, I would be making all kinds of impulse decisions that
right. You would
are
be,
not going to fulfill.
You would be finding things that in the moment, you just wanted them so badly,
mm-hmm.
but probably if you had
didn't
followed
really
through, you didn't really need them, and mm-hmm. it was probably covering up something else that was difficult at the mm-hmm. time. And in fact, that's a big problem across the world in developed countries. We have a debt crisis on our hands. Why do we have a debt crisis, a consumer debt crisis? Well, it's because people
We're
are living
too much consuming.
That's right. They're living beyond their means.
Mm-hmm.
And my approach is to look at things. I have a kind of a three-step process, and it's ESP. And so we look at things from an emotional, a spiritual, and from a practical standpoint. You mentioned the practical thing, which was to put your credit cards in the freezer, right? Put them in an old soup can, fill it with water, put them in the freezer, so that if there's something you really do need, you can have access to it. But until you get past that that belief, that pattern, that you need to have things that you can't afford, until you get past that and flip it to the other side or bring it to the upside of the line, as you say, and save for things, you're going to stay in that old pattern.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that I've learned over the years in dealing with people from all kinds of different circumstances is that people who have the most money aren't any happier than people who have less money. The fact is that that's just not the variable that makes the biggest difference. It's around what's inside. The fact is I've also met people who have very little by modern standards, and who are extraordinarily happy.
Mm-hmm.
And I've met people who have plenty of money, but they have fear.
Mm-hmm.
And they keep it close to them. It's not in motion. It dominates their world. And they have an unhealthier relationship with money than the people who have less.
You know, I discovered one of the really odd beliefs I had that was really feeding the challenge that I had. This is a number of years ago. I grew up in a large family. I grew up in a family with parents that had lived through the Depression.
Mm-hmm.
And I also raised three kids. And I was living by myself. And I looked in the cupboards. And honest to goodness, Andrew, if 100 people had pulled into the driveway unannounced, I could have cooked them dinner
mm-hmm.
from what I had in my pantry and still had things left over.
Yeah.
I was stocking up like my mother had.
Almost hoarding.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Food. And
mm-hmm.
and it's like, you know, in this day and age, I can get to the grocery store in like under 10 minutes and it's open some places 24 hours. Here, certainly any hour that I'm going to want to be eating. I mm-hmm. mean, I think it opens at 8 in the morning and it's closed at 11 at night. Like there is no shortage of food. And yet we have these freezers and these cupboards full of food. And I
mm-hmm.
personally, I think it's a throwback to that, and it may not just be the Depression. I think it may just be one of those human, you know, we got to make sure we've got food. But seriously, like how many packages of pasta do you really need if you live alone?
Mm-hmm.
You know, one, not five.
Yes.
How many, you know, jars of pasta sauce do you need? One, mm-hmm. not five. And so, you know, that kind of, I decided, in fact, I start out the year every year in January, and I decide to stop going grocery shopping. And I only go grocery shopping for fresh vegetables and fresh fruit. That's it. Mm-hmm. So I'll often go to markets and things like that rather than going to the grocery store. And if I'm buying something and putting it in my basket and it's not a fresh item, mm-hmm. I really question it. Because, you know, usually I look in the freezer and I've got, you know, all kinds of chicken and meat and fish. And again, that it still comes even though I'm being cognizant of it.
Oh, but it's a good deal.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it was on
sale. It's on sale.
Yeah, I had some chicken legs in the freezer like that. And I looked at them and I went, it was a good deal in October. And they're still there. And it's now March. I think I'll just eat them,
mm-hmm.
you know, instead of going and looking for more good deals.
And, you know, that perception that because it's on sale, because the price is discounted, is that it's something that you should do, is just plain false. It's not a good deal if you don't need it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I know a lot of people that are listening have challenge with credit card debt. It's mm-hmm. it's rampant in
yes.
North American society and in the, I would just say all of the, you know, developed countries. I would think that it's a pretty rampant problem. Mm-hmm. And once you're there, boy, is it ever tough to get out of it.
Yep.
What kinds of strategies do you suggest people look at for those, you know, for that kind of a concept?
Well, the first thing is what you mentioned a few moments ago, which is that you actually put the credit cards away. But you have to look at other practical strategies to kind of go, I'll say, go upstream so that you're not using them, okay? Or don't have the desire to use them, don't have the need to use them. And that's where you have to go back and you have to look at the relationship that you have with money, have to understand the gaps between your beliefs and understandings with money and healthy ones, and you have to find ways to fill that gap.
Mm-hmm.
So again, you have to understand the emotional triggers for it. You have to look at the spiritual significance around that, and then you have to take practical steps to change any beliefs or patterns, habits that are limiting your success. And that's the reason I'm here with you, is because I see that the work that you do being so incredibly powerful with people, not just in relationships, in health, basically, but looking at their financial situation. Because anything that that we're doing, we can do better if we can, I'll say, enhance the beliefs and the triggers, the positive triggers, and if we can minimize the time that we spend creating from fear.
Mm-hmm.
So that's where I see the strategies that you use being so effective, because you just spend more time in the good places in your being, really,
mm-hmm.
right? Creating from love, from hope, joy, abundance, creativity, personal responsibility. You mentioned something right at the very start, which is this whole idea that, well, you know, it's all family of origin, and you know, this is what I was handed, so this is what I'm limited to. Well, when I hear statements like that, I want to draw a really big V right on their forehead. And the V is for victim.
Mm.
We are not the victim of our circumstance. We are basically creating from what our beliefs are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if you say, well, look, I came from a poor family, so therefore I will always be poor. Well, what about free will, right? You mentioned free will.
Mm-hmm.
Free will has been basically forgotten or given up or disposed of by people who prefer to stay in the victim role. It's abdicating personal responsibility.
Yeah. And that victim place is just, it's a tough place to live. And people say to me, oh, but it's so hard. And I'm like, not as hard as living in the victim place is.
Something that it's taken me a long time to learn. But now that I'm on the other side, I tell as many people as we'll listen, this is that resistance takes a whole hell of a lot more work than just going with the flow.
Mm-hmm.
So letting go of the pain, letting go of the old beliefs, the limiting anythings, is a whole lot easier than staying stuck.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I would extend that by saying creating what it is that you truly want is a whole lot easier than thinking about letting go of what you don't want.
Exactly.
And so if what you're really wanting is joy, then do something that's joyous. And it doesn't have to cost money and involve an airplane. It can just, you know, it can be go rub a dog's belly. The dog will be happy and you'll be joyous because the dog will be just like rolling all over the place and being happy.
Turn up the radio and dance.
Yeah. It's free.
Exactly.
And I think that's the other thing is that, you know, so often people say to me, well, I can't afford to pamper myself or I can't afford to be kind to myself. And I'm like, there's lots of ways you can do it. Mm-hmm. So I had a really cool thing happen to me last week. I took my car in for a oil change. And I waited. And of course, while you're waiting there, you see all the new car models. And and so anyway, I thought, oh, you know what? I bought my car 5 years ago. Did I buy that on a 5-year payment plan or a 6-year payment plan? And I remember very clearly buying it because it was 5 years ago when they were having trouble selling cars. And so I got it on 0% down, 0% financing. And I'm like, it doesn't make sense for me to buy a used car. It makes sense for, I mean, it's basically the money's free.
Right.
And they're going to let me drive this car. So yay. So I was telling my dad the story and he said to me, oh, so did you decide to buy a new car? And I looked at him and I said, no, I decided to ask when my payments were done. And so turned out my payments are done. I have 3 more payments. And I was like, 3? That's odd because I bought it. I know I bought it in April. So my first payment would have been in May. Well, I have my April 1st payment. My May 1st payment is like, anyway, the third payment is like $1.38 or something because it's the finishing off. And Dad said, so, you know, did you decide to buy a new car? Because I'm concerned because it'll be off warranty. And I said, just because it's off warranty doesn't mean I'm going to get a new car. And that's my dad's way of doing things. He always bought a new car.
Right.
At that point in time. My way of being is I buy a car and I drive it for 12 or 15 years.
Exactly.
And then I sell it.
Right.
And so I said, no, I'm just really excited to try to decide where I'm going to put that monthly car payment.
Well, and that's what I was going to get at, which is when that car payment stops, you redirect it to saving for the next one, just like the $21 a week for your holiday fund.
So would you suggest that people redirect that, or would it be better spent that money on paying down a credit card debt? If I've got a credit card debt that's sitting at 19%.
It would be better, obviously, to pay off a high interest credit card. I mean, that's the financial reality, right? The arithmetic of it. But, I mean, if you have credit card debt and your car's still running, you shouldn't be thinking about a new car yet anyway.
Exactly. So credit card debt really is the thing for people to focus on. It's not about paying down the mortgage because your mortgage money is usually at 2, 3, 5, 6%. It's not about
priorities, right?
Yeah.
You gotta choose your priorities. And the biggest thing I think is that most people just don't really fully understand where it is that they actually sit. I think a lot of people are afraid of the honesty that is forced on them when they actually do an assessment of their financial position. And so people would prefer to avoid it, just like people would prefer to avoid looking at things like estate planning. Oh, I don't want to look at my will because, well, maybe I'm going to be in a position where I'm forced to think about death or disability, and maybe I'll have to start thinking about who's going to handle my money after I'm gone, and who's going to get it, and all of these different things that I'm going to have to worry about. So people end up just avoiding it.
And when they avoid it, then what happens?
Well, you're back in the same place that you were before. You're stuck.
In fear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. So whatever you're resisting, focus there. And so, you know, I remember when I first began and I was a young person and it was like take 10% of your income and put it aside.
Absolutely.
Is that still a really good plan?
Unquestionably. The Wealthy Barber, David Chilton, the book series was not, I would say, technically deep. But the great gift that David Chilton brought to the world was pay yourself first. And you have to look at your future, your financial situation, as something which is worthy of being contributed to.
Yeah, exactly. That's great. That's great advice. And so we've talked a lot about things that you can do to get out of the victim place, some real quick ideas and easy ideas. You've got a talk coming up at the Body, Soul, Spirit Expo here in Calgary on Saturday, April the 12th and Sunday, April the 13th at 10:30 and at noon, respectively. What are you going to be talking about in those presentations?
Well, the name of the presentation is Heal Your Relationship with Money and Prosper. Mm-hmm. And we're actually going to explore some of the things we've talked about today, but in a little bit more depth, and people will have an opportunity to focus on some of the things that are limiting them. And of course, we're going to talk about some solutions.
Great. And that's, you know, I think that's what people need, is just some practical rubber hit the road kind of advice and things that you can do to make things different for yourself. Now, if people are not in Calgary and they can't come to that, how can they connect with you, Andrew? Because you have a very different perspective from, mm-hmm. Do you call yourself a financial planner?
I call myself a wealth management advisor.
Okay.
Because financial planning is a part of what we do, but it doesn't really tell the whole story. See, we view anything that clients value as wealth. So that could be relationships. Mm-hmm. It could be their health. It could be a business, but it could also be future generations. It could be ideas that they value. They want to leave a legacy of values. It could be an operating business. It could be an investment portfolio.
It could be a charity. It could be
absolutely
so all
of those things fall into the category of wealth by my definition.
Okay. So if people are interested in working with you or mm-hmm. having some time with you or connecting with you in any way, and they aren't in Calgary and able mm-hmm. to go to the Body Soul Spirit Expo next weekend, or if they are in Calgary and can't go, what would work for you for them to get a hold of you? How would that work best?
Well, they can certainly visit our website. It's integratedwealthmanagement.ca. I know that's a long handle, but if you type in Integrated Wealth Management and Calgary, you will go directly to our site. You'll see it pop up. We've done good search engine optimization for that.
That's great. And they could also just type in your name, likely. Andrew's last name is Ruland, and that's spelled Ruhland, Ruhland. And so do you do consultations with people by phone, by Skype, or only in person, or how do you work?
It's typically in person. Most of my work is face-to-face. But if there are people who are listening that would like a little bit of help with approaching things, I can certainly take a little bit of time to invest in helping them explore what some of their limiting beliefs and fears are around money.
That's great. Well, as always, this hour goes zing. So thank you so much, Andrew, for joining me.
My pleasure.
Really appreciate that. And money, love it, hate it, we all need it. Heal that relationship with money. And if your mind, your money seminar would be working for you, that starts on May 1st. You can find out about that at my website, which is www.beliefrepatterning.com. And remember, we've also got the Flip Your Switch. It doesn't matter what kind of topic you're looking at, that Flip Your Switch always changes your belief systems on things. And that's coming up end of April. So I'm Suze Casey. It's been an absolute delight having you with me today. Andrew, there's our timer going, and I forgot to turn it off on time. So there we are. Our time's up. We'll be back next week with Flipping the Switch with Suze. Take care. Have an awesome weekend. Know you can and will repattern absolutely anything you choose.
Are you ready to choose a school? It's time to explore an Edmonton Public Schools open house. Venture inside our classrooms. Discover the sights and sounds. Seek the answers you desire. Your quest for event dates and locations and how to make the most of your open house experience starts at openhouse.epsb.ca. Let your curiosity take the lead.
The 2020 Mazda CX-9 is designed to elevate every moment with a sophisticated SUV experience. Stunningly crafted with three-row seating, including second-row captain's chairs. Book a test drive at Mazda.ca.